Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, February 18th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Got a lot to talk about in today's episode, including some results from a show that just ended, literally minutes ago. We're going to go through topics and jump right into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for MLW Burning Crush, RevPro High Stakes 2024, TCW Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling's Revival Show. We have results for NXT Level Up and spoilers for NXT TV tapings. So some NXT Level Up and some NXT spoilers on the show today. Also have results for Combat 1, Glory Pro, NWA Power, and we'll end the show with some Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers. So a good mixture today of results, spoilers, and like I said, that RevPro show literally just ended. I just finished watching Oku versus Ospreay. Absolutely incredible. I'm going to give you my thoughts on that match and a lot more right here on the show. But we're going to start off today with the results for MLW's Burning Crush. Or I should, technically it's MLW The Burning Crush. I want to get that accurate there. Major League Wrestling had The Burning Crush yesterday on YouTube. It was for free on their YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube, search Major League Wrestling, and you can watch the show completely for free. It aired last night. It started at 10 p.m. Eastern time, so it ran directly competing with the beginning of the UFC pay-per-view that I was watching. So I did the dual screen last night with the UFC and MLW. And as a fan of, you know, all combat sports, it's fun having nights like last night where I can have pro wrestling, like live pro wrestling and live MMA. So I had a good time, watched the fights and the matches with my stepbrother last night. So yeah. Looking forward to talking about this show right now. This is MLW, The Burning Crush. Once again, for free, available on the YouTube channel for Major League Wrestling. Show started off with a six-man tag team match where Griffin McCoy, TJ Crawford, and Tony Deppen defeated Nolo Catano and Wasted Youth, the combination of Austin Luke and Marcus Mathers. Finish this one was Mathers coming off the top rope with a 450 splash and hitting McCoy with that 450. Right when he lands, Deppen runs up behind Mathers, hits him with a, basically like a running Shining Wizard to the back of the head, also kind of known as the Boom, you know, Adam Cole style. So Deppen with a running Shining Wizard to the back of the head of Mathers, pins Mathers 1-2-3, and McCoy, Deppen, and Crawford get the win in the opener. After that, we had a four-way match where Zeta, along with Brett Ryan Goslin, defeats Delmi Exo, Tiara James, and Notorious Mimi. The finish of this one was the I'm Prettier by Zeta onto Mimi for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the MLW National Openweight Championship on the line. It was Jake Crist over Ricky Shane Page, but it was by disqualification, so RSP retains the openweight title. Basically, what winds up happening here is while Jake Crist and RSP are going at it, Sami Callihan comes down to the ring, causing the DQ. So once again, RSP retains the title, but Jay Crist wins the match by disqualification. Akira comes out to save Jay Crist because RSP, Cannonball, and more of like the goons from The Calling all kind of outnumber Jay Crist, but Akira and Jay Crist fight them all off together. After that, we had Filthy Tom Lawler over Matthew Justice. The finish here was basically what winds up happening is Saint Laurent is on the outside, of course, with Filthy Tom Lawler. Manders hits a lariat onto MSL. This distracts Justice and allows Tom Lawler to go for a schoolboy roll-up. Justice kicks out at two. Tom Lawler follows up with a buzzsaw kick, you know, Tajiri style, like kind of the seated head kick, which I always call that the buzzsaw kick for the 1-2-3. So Lawler gets the win over Matthew Justice, picks up the win for WTF. After that, we had a Lumberjack and Jill match where Brett Ryan Goslin, BRG, along with Zeta, defeats Love Doug. The finish of this one was Zeta distracting Love Doug, and when he's trying to get into the ring, BRG kicks the rope into the dick of Love Doug, hitting that low blow, allows Brett Ryan Goslin to hit the I'm Prettier, which is, of course, Zeta's finishing move. He hits Zeta's move onto Love Doug. 1-2-3. BRG gets the W. After that, we had a tag team match where Cozy Max, the team of Kojima and Akamura, defeat the WTF combination of Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Richard Holiday, of course representing the World Titan Federation. Saint Laurent is on the outside for them. The finish of this one is Richard Holiday, he's like firing up towards the end of the match. He hits the ropes, runs towards Kojima. Kojima just essentially counters him with just a stiff lariat. That lariato, 1-2-3. Kojima pins Holiday and gets the win for Cozy Max. And the main event of the show, we had the brawl, the big showdown between Mads Cruel Kruger and Jacob Fatu. I'm going to just call him Cruel just for the sake of making it easy. And I talk about Cruel all the time. Y'all are very familiar with Cruel at this point, but also known as Mads Kruger in MLW, but going as Mads Cruel Kruger now. Just make it a little more confusing, but also a little easier at the same time. We're going to say Cruel over Jacob Fatu in the main event. The finish here was Cruel throwing a fireball in the face of Fatu and then hitting Scorched Earth for the 1-2-3. The backstory here, of course, is Jacob Fatu is the original leader of Contra Unit, which Cruel now leads, you know, and once again, since returning to MLW, leads Contra. So after the match, after Kruger, or after Cruel slash Kruger hits a, hits him with a fireball to the face and then Scorched Earth pins him, Contra, all the other members of Contra come out, and Cruel, along with those members, puts Fatu in a body bag, and they all carry him away. So that's effectively writing Jacob Fatu out of MLW. That's at least how it seems. And I talked about this, I think, a little bit last week. I know I talked about it on the Spotlight with Jeremy on Thursday, but it's interesting with like the timing of the action figures coming out for MLW, because Kruger, I'm going to keep messing up. Now I'm actually calling him Kruger for MLW. We're going to be talking about Cruel here shortly also, because he's on some of these other results. The current IWTV champion, of course. But Cruel is now back in MLW, at least to some degree, it looks like. So that's good. But the other people that got action figures for MLW recently, their first line of figures, the others are Fatu, who is now a free agent, and people highly expect him to head to the WWE. Killer Cross, aka Karrion Kross, who's been back in the WWE for a while now. And Hammerstone, who's a recent free agent who we've seen popping up in TNA. So it's good they at least got one of three back, at least for the time being. But, you know, Cruel's got so much going on. I've talked, you know, once again, we talk about him every week. And it's one of those situations where it's cool for him to be on MLW at the moment, but they dropped the ball massively, in my opinion, with his first run there, where they just made him Mads Kruger, the generic Frankenstein monster that just didn't really do much and wasn't very... The character was somewhat interesting, but the execution, and it wasn't even his fault, but the execution was just kind of lacking. And it was especially frustrating because I was aware of his work as Logan Creed when he was maskless, and then, of course, as Cruel, becoming kind of like a hybrid of Logan Creed and Mads Kruger, what he is today on the indies as the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Champion. But I've known for a long time how talented he is, and he's getting to show that more in MLW now, I'd imagine. But I just feel like he's just a slam dunk in, you know, AEW or WWE long-term one day. Especially, I really feel like he would thrive in the WWE system. Just the right eyes really need to get on him, and he needs the right push, but the dude's super talented and super durable for a guy his size. So yeah, it was cool to see this. It was cool to see, you know, Cruel get this win over Fatu, because it's a huge, huge win for him returning to MLW. And it's a good send-off for Fatu. Like, he's leaving the company. Everyone knows he's leaving the company. And this is a way of effectively killing him off of the show without literally murdering him, which we have seen happen on Impact before. And even, like, we saw Eric Young literally get murdered, or it was, like, highly implied that he got, like, shanked to death, pretty much. And he's back. You know what I mean? So, it's pro wrestling. You know, it is what it is. Everything's possible. But it was good to see the way that they just kind of did this. Like, Cruel definitively beat Fatu. And Fatu looks like he's never coming back to MLW. And the next time we probably see him will be on WWE television. So, really good stuff from MLW, especially once again, completely free. That show aired originally last night, so if you want to watch it, go check it out on the YouTube channel for MLW right now, or after you listen to The Weekender, of course. Moving on, got some results for Rev Pro. This is Revolution Pro Wrestling High Stakes. This show just happened. So I'm going to give you some quick results. I'm going to deep dive the main event a little bit because it was fantastic. There were some big highlights to this show as well. So this was Rev Pro High Stakes 2024. You can watch this on the Rev Pro website. It's available on demand over there. Just search Rev Pro in Google or go to their website and you can watch their events, including this High Stakes 2024 Ospreay vs. Oku card. It took place out of London, England. And it aired, like I said, literally minutes before I started recording. And these are the results. Show started off with Orange Cassidy making a surprise appearance to Rev Pro. I should probably back up a little bit here. Tony Khan was actually in the house for this event. He was up in a press box. And he was sitting throughout the show with Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin. But for this match, for this opening match, it was really cool because I believe it was advertised as a six-person match, and out of nowhere, number seven gets announced, and it's Orange Cassidy defending the International Championship. The other opponents for this match were Cameron Kai, Flash Morgan Webster, Richard Holiday, Shaw Samuels, Shigehiro Ida, and Spike Trivet. Oh, sorry, Trivet. I have a hard time saying that. Spike Trivet. But Orange Cassidy defending this title, it was super cool for a lot of reasons. One, he got a humongous pop from that crowd. And, you know, you'd love to see that. And for people who might not know, who are more familiar with Orange Cassidy from his run in AEW, he became super over on the indie scene. But it took a long time for him to get the success that he had. Like, I remember him before he was even doing the Orange Cassidy gimmick. He was doing this. His gimmick, for people who don't know, it's a play in Wet Hot American Summer. He's essentially kind of like parodying that character in his wrestling gimmick. But you can find clips of him before he was ever even doing that, and then there's all these clips, and a lot of them have been deleted off the internet, but there's a lot of clips from him coming up on the indie scene as the current Orange Cassidy character. It was a much different type of character. He would get like a lot more like drunk, and he was a lot more lazy, and stuff like that, but it was really, really funny, and he wound up getting super over. And it's super cool seeing how over he is in AEW, because he's a fantastic in-ring worker, and he's obviously a very unique character. So I'm a big Orange Cassidy fan, and have been for a long time. And it was really cool seeing him in this match, not only for that reason, but because this is like the perfect usage of the International Championship. You know, like this kind of seems exactly what they should be doing with this title belt. Bring it not only to other, you know, independent promotions, bringing it to independent promotions all over the world, not just within the U.S., like actually travel internationally, hence the international title. So I really like that. This was a perfect usage of that title, and Orange Cassidy went out there and absolutely killed it, as you'd expect, and he was just mega over with the crowd. He retains in that seven-way scramble. After that, we had the Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's title on the line. Dani Luna defends and retains over Sapphire Reed. We had a tag team match where Youngblood defeated Kieran Lacey and Mark True. We had Luke Jacobs over J.J. Gale. Really nice finish for this one. Luke Jacobs hit it was basically a Steiner screwdriver, but it looked absolutely brutal. And that's one of my favorite moves in pro wrestling history. It's just super dangerous, but it looks awesome. So, and like, you know, Brian Cage does it nowadays. He calls it the drill claw, which I always like. He does the move justice. I think he does a great job with it. But I always remember it's like an OG Scott Steiner move. And for people who don't know, Scott Steiner, this would be, I could talk for the next hour about just how underrated Scott Steiner is. For a lot of people know him more as like the later in his career, you know, white hair, big Papa Pump, big bad booty daddy, like that whole era. And even then he was still pretty good. Like he honestly was, especially like in hindsight, compared to a lot of the other talent, and he was super, super over, and it was a different time, and he didn't need to do the same kind of things as a heel, as a babyface. There's a lot that goes into it, but when you look at just his actual moveset throughout his career, from the time that he started through even to this day, he innovated so much stuff. Like, the Steiner screwdriver is an absolutely incredible finishing move, as like a power move. He innovated the Frankensteiner, which, you know, we've seen everybody do nowadays. And he wasn't, you know, a quote-unquote, like, luchador or cruiserweight-sized guy doing that move. I saw him hit a 450 splash back in, like, the early 90s. Like, he was doing 450s off the top rope. But, for a guy his size, it just didn't make any sense why he'd even be attempting these moves. And that's just some of them. I mean, this guy, super, super innovative, super athletic. And anyway, that's me putting over Scott Steiner, as if he needs me to put him over. But that's all just memories flooding back in, because that's how Luke Jacobs hit a really gnarly looking Steiner screwdriver today. After that, we had Robbie X over Mustafa Ali. Great to see Mustafa, you know, worldwide, you know, just getting reps in everywhere right now and being super over everywhere he goes. I believe he's going to be in Action Wrestling soon in Tyrone, Georgia. It'd be cool if I could make it out to that show. It just depends on my work schedule for the shoot job. After that, we had Shingo Takagi over Trent Seven. We had, oh, by the way, that's just cool that, like, you can even have the two of them against each other. You know, just two completely different worlds of wrestling. You have Shingo, who has become an absolute bona fide legend of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Trent Seven, who pretty much, along with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, they, like, revived the entire British scene back in, like, the, you know, kind of around, like, the era that, like, NXT was really blowing up a handful of years ago. And then before they jumped over into the WWE themselves, and then Trent Seven was a real staple of NXT UK, which we covered here every episode that it was on. You know, we covered that right here on the Weekender. So it was just cool seeing the two of them even, you know, getting in the ring with one another. After that, we had Ricky Knight Jr. over Anthony Ogogo. Anthony Ogogo, I think, I could be wrong, but I think I saw something about him maybe re-signing or extending with AEW. Could be wrong about that, but he just needs reps anywhere he can get them, and RevPro is a good place to do that. After that, we had Zack Sabre Jr. over Connor Mills in a great technical matchup. ZSJ, one of the best in the world, just period. It has been for a long time, but him and Danielson were absolutely cooking the other week in their match. Me and Jeremy talked about that on the Spotlight. Their first match at Wrestle Dream was fantastic, but I think their most recent match was even better. And then the main event of the show, we had one of the best matches you'll probably ever see. This was insane. It's actually why I'm recording the podcast when I am, because I wanted to watch this match before I got, you know, recording. So we had the RevPro Undisputed British Heavyweight title on the line. Michael Oku defends and retains over Will Ospreay. I cannot do this match justice. Just some of the stuff that happens, like, Ospreay hits one of those storm drivers, you know, just, like, power bombs, stack power bombs, you know, just right onto the neck. There was multiple, like, hidden blade reversals. At one point, Oku's girlfriend took a hidden blade, essentially took the bullet for Oku when Ospreay went for it. Oku hit this just gnarly tombstone reversal into, like, a tombstone of his own, the spike tombstone. But once again, these are, like, these moves I can't even, like, me saying it just doesn't do it justice how cool this all looked. Like, there was this one sequence where it was, like, Ospreay going for the hidden blade, Oku ducks it, gets under Ospreay, hits a reverse Rana, then Ospreay hits a hidden blade right, he bounces basically from getting hit with a poison Rana right into another hidden blade. Like, just the way that these guys can flow this stuff together is just unreal. And Oku eventually wins the match by submission. He taps Ospreay out to kind of like a version of the half crab that he does, except it's like, it was like a high angle. Kind of think, you know, how the Walls of Jericho, when Jericho does that, it's more of like a Boston crab, but the Lion Tamer is like a high angle with like his knee in the back of the head. This was more of like a Lion Tamer half crab, and Ospreay was forced to tap out. And this was Ospreay's, unless I'm mistaken, but I believe this legitimately is Will Ospreay's final independent booking. And he's off to AEW full time, which I'm super excited to see as an AEW fan. It's just a matter of time before he's the AEW world champion. I absolutely would make, I don't want to say like you need to do it like right away necessarily, because Samoa Joe is doing great as the champion right now, in my opinion. And he's got great challengers in Hangman and Swerve, but it's just a matter of time before, you know, Will Ospreay needs to be the AEW world champion for sure. And he either needs to be defending that title going into Wembley for All In or win the title at All In. But there was chants in the crowd during this match for Oku also. People chanting at Tony Khan because they all knew he was there. And Khan himself was marking out in the crowd, just total fanboy, which I actually love and appreciate. A lot of people, there are certain instances where being a fanboy and being Tony Khan isn't a good look, but I don't have a problem with a guy who's around my age, a lifelong wrestling fan who, you know, is such a big fan that he now owns the second biggest wrestling company in the world. They're doing great business. Depending, you know, despite on what people want to say about the AEW, like in their business, they're doing fantastic. It just, in comparison to the WWE, it's not the same thing. It's not the same worldwide conglomerate. It just isn't. It isn't really direct competition in a lot of ways. It is in some ways, but in most ways, it really isn't. It's almost like two different industries. There's a lot of overlap. You guys know what I mean by this. Like, the WWE is just so far ahead, and they're not even. They're more of like, I always compare it to the arches, to like the McDonald's arches, like upside down is the WWE logo. They're so huge that you don't even need to know what professional wrestling is. If you see the WWE logo, like, you just know that's the WWE logo. You don't even have to know who anyone is. You may not have ever heard of Roman Reigns, but you know what that symbol is. You know, AEW isn't anywhere near that worldwide, and how could they be? You know, it'd be impossible. They've been around for like 5 years, that's it. But that all said, the reason I say all this is because Tony Khan, I think it's cool seeing a guy who still loves pro wrestling be in the position that he's in. Like, he's marking out for this match, and the fans were chanting, "You signed the wrong guy," you know, like, because they want Oku to get signed also. So this was really cool. Just really, really cool environment for Rev Pro. It was a packed house, a lot of fans. They were all in on what was going on too. They were all part of the show, and it was like, this was really great stuff. This is the kind of stuff about, you know, independent professional wrestling that I absolutely love. So highly recommend checking this show out when you get a chance. Just go to Rev Pro's website, watch it on demand. That was Rev Pro High Stakes 2024, and it is the send off for Will Ospreay, who is All Elite. All right, and speaking of All Elite, there's a little bit of a tie-in and a little bit of a bridge from topic to topic here, as the next show I want to talk about is Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. This is TCW. They have revived the company. It is now run by Teal Rhodes, the sister of Cody, and QT Marshall. Just a little bit of backstory on TCW itself. The promotion originally ran from, I want to say, like 2000 till 2004, something like that, give or take. I was aware of TCW because I went to high school at Lassiter High School, the same high school Cody was at. I've talked about it 1,000 times, us being on the same high school wrestling team back in the day. And because I was there at the same time as him, they actually ran a TCW show in my high school gym. This would have been back in like 2002 or 2003. And so I got to see this live. I got to see Cody kind of doing his thing. It wasn't wrestling yet, but he came out, and I want to say he like made the save for Dusty or something. Like, I've talked about it 1,000 times, but, you know, Cody was already like a trained pro wrestler to some degree when he was a teenager already. He was already doing moonsaults, running the ropes, had been a referee at TCW and that kind of stuff. And to pull the curtain back even more, and just how small world all of this is, I believe the first ever TCW, why, I don't know if it was the first ever TCW show. I think it was, but they ran a TCW show. This would have been back in like 2001 or something like that. And they ran it out of Claxton High School. And a few years later, just complete coincidence, small world, back in, this would have been 2005, around 2005 or 2006, when I was in college, I majored in sport management. That's what my degree was in sport management with a minor in business. And I also got a minor in coaching as well, because I had to take so many sports classes that I was so close to just like also getting a coaching minor that I just needed to have like a certain amount of coaching hours to get that minor as well. So to do that, I found out that there was a high school that was like a 30 to 40 minute drive from my college campus in Statesboro, Georgia. Shout out Georgia Southern University. If y'all know anything about Georgia Southern, it's probably because Jerick McKinnon, who is now a 2-time Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs, he was the college quarterback for my college for Georgia Southern when I was going there. Like, he was the quarterback at Georgia Southern the same years that I was attending Georgia Southern as a student. So if you've ever heard of Georgia Southern, that's probably who you've heard of, or how you may have even heard of the school at all, because it's a small school in South Georgia, kind of near Savannah, if you guys have ever heard of Savannah, Georgia. But anyway, I was going to school in Statesboro, and I found out about this little town in Claxton that was offering basically a student coach position for their baseball team. And I didn't really specialize specifically in baseball or anything like that. I hadn't played baseball since I was a kid, never played high school baseball. But I was trying to get my coaching minor, and they needed basically someone to help, people to, help retrieve the balls at practice and throw, some batting practice. And I was like the first base coach for the, I was like the third base coach for a while for like the JV and like the first base coach for like the varsity and whatever. And they were like this little town, and they gave me the opportunity to just like kind of be a part of the team. And it was really cool. It was a great experience. And I still stay in touch with some of the kids that I coach to this day, because when I was coaching them, I was like 20, 21 years old, and they were like 17, 18 years old. I wasn't that much older than they were, you know what I mean? So it's been cool seeing, these, I can't say kids, but they were only a few years younger than I was. But, all these years later, I still see them on Facebook and stuff. So that's a whole kind of side story. But the reason I bring all of it up is because that same high school, like, I coached high school at that same high school that TCW ran their first event in, so long ago. So it's this small world, these little things here that kind of all lined up together, just kind of crazy. And now all these years later, TCW is back. They're running shows out of the Atlanta area. I'll try to get Teal on for you guys again soon for the spotlight. We interviewed Teal. Myself and Jeremy interviewed her for the spotlight back on around the time that the Cody Rhodes documentary came out on Peacock. She was heavily featured in that. And it's really, really cool seeing TCW back. So just wanted to give you all a little bit of backstory on TCW, a little bit of my knowledge of the company, because I actually knew about the original incarnation of this company. To my knowledge, this show isn't available yet to watch, but I have seen a lot of clips, and I've actually had some people send some clips from the show that like I haven't even seen on social media, which is pretty cool. There was even a match that was sent to me that was they were thinking it probably isn't going to air just because of some of the people that were involved in it, like being on like TV and stuff. They didn't know if it would air or not, so they just sent it directly to me, and they were like, hey, like, I know you probably want to check this out because TCW, you're probably your thing, you know what I mean? So they sent me some of the matches too that might not even air, which is pretty cool. But I'll tell you all the results right now of what I know happened on this Revival show, and it included some big returns from some people I'm a really big fan of. So this is the results for TCW's return show. This happened on February 8th, and it happened out of the Nightmare Factory in Norcross, Georgia. These are the results. And just so you know, a lot of these names are going to be people that were trainees or trainers for the Nightmare Factory and, members of the Nightmare family, itself, of course. But there's also going to be a lot of people here that if you've heard some of these names before, there's a lot of crossover between this company and CDW, Championship District Wrestling. That's the company that I did commentary for that I've talked about quite a bit. They ran like a handful of shows in Atlanta. They're not running events anymore, unfortunately, but there's a lot of the same talent that was doing CDW shows, people that I got to know and I got to call matches for, that are now Now it's kind of turned into, in certain ways, kind of turned into Turnbuckle Championship Wrestling. So these are the results for TCW's return show from February 8th. We have Dylan Lesson and KJ Impala over Jimmy Wild and Sean Moore in a tag team match. We had Brady Booker over Elijah Drago along with Diamond Sheik. Diamond Sheik has been on the spotlight before. Shout out to the Diamond Sheik. We had Parker Lee and Ricky Starks over Body Guy University, the team of Brandon Bullock and Jameson Ryan. Y'all might know Jameson Ryan as Jack Jameson now, over on Ring of Honor as a part of the Iron Savages. And of course, y'all know Ricky Starks, one of the biggest stars in wrestling. We had Carly Bravo over Very Morales. Carly Bravo, of course, part of the Infantry. You see them on Ring of Honor a lot, him with Sean Dean. Sean Dean was in his corner for this match. Very Morales is, I know he gets the comparison all the time, and he probably hates hearing it, but if you've never seen Very Morales before, you could mistake him for Juventud Guerrero in a lot of ways, which I think is a compliment personally. But after that, we had Dylan Lesson over Matt Cardona. It looks like a really quick match, like a 10-second match. Where big win for Dylan. I like Dylan a lot. I got to know him a little bit through CDW. He's still probably only, I doubt he's even 20 years old still. After that, we had the Nightmare Tag Team titles on the line. This was, these are all vacant titles to crown the first champions, like, since, 2003 or whatever. We had the East Coast Outlaws, the team of Luke Sampson and Trevor Blackwell. They defeat the Superstars, the team of Nikki Eight and Tommy Mars, to become the champions. With the Nightmare Women's title on the line, vacant title, of course, to crown the champion, Angelica Risk defeats Hyanna Hera. This really cool seeing this because both of these women I saw come really have come up from like being pretty. I'll pull the curtain back, and this isn't being disrespectful. Hyanna Hera specifically, I probably saw like her first matches ever because she was. I'll pull the curtain back even more. Hyanna Hera, when I would go to BattleSlam shows, the first few shows that they ran, she was just there as the girl working at the door taking your ticket stubs. She wasn't a part of the show. She wasn't wrestling. She was training, and I had heard she was training, but she wasn't even really wrestling in front of people. Or if she was, it was even smaller shows than BattleSlam. Like they didn't even have her out there yet. She was just there working, helping set the ring up, break stuff apart. Literally, the person at the door selling the tickets and letting people in and out of the show, putting wristbands on them and that kind of stuff. And she's gotten really good. Like, it's really, really cool to see in just a few years how much progress she's made and how over she's become. Like, I'm super proud to see where she's at. She's someone I should get on the spotlight too. I hadn't thought about her in a minute just because BattleSlam has been defunct basically. Like, it's just they just haven't been running shows. And a lot of it is Baron, is trying to get back himself, from injury and everything. But it's really cool. It's really cool seeing a lot of these names again because so many of them were doing, Terminus and BattleSlam and CDW and like these companies that just aren't running anymore. But now they're all together for TCW, which this is really cool for me especially seeing this. And in Helica, she's just similar boat. Pretty green if I'm being honest. The first few times I saw her, but this was years ago. She keeps getting better and better. Keeps getting more reps and more reps and more reps. She, super attractive woman, you know what I mean? Like you see her and she looks like a star immediately. Like then for her to be the first TCW Women's Champion with this revival here, this I'm all for it. So this is really cool stuff. I'm a fan of both Risk and Hera, so good stuff. After that, we have the Nightmare title, the vacant title up for grabs. We have Adrian Ward defeating Aaron Solo to become the champion. So huge win for Adrian Ward. Has a huge nod of confidence for TCW being their champion for this big revival and to get the win over Aaron Solo, who of course big part of the Nightmare Factory or Nightmare family as well. But Aaron Solo, I people underappreciate, I think, kind of really how good he is. And I remember years ago watching him climb the ranks in Dojo Pro. I was at all those live shows out of Nashville, and that stuff all wound up airing on Amazon Prime years back, and Aaron Solo won that whole tournament and went on to challenge for the ROH TV title, and coming off of that, and then of course everything he's done in AEW in more recent years, but in Ring of Honor, but that's a big win for Ward over Solo there. That's once again a huge nod of confidence for Ward in this company. I forgot to mention, but during the show, Teal, I always don't know what to call her. Teal Rhodes is the easiest thing, but Teal Rhodes, Teal Runnels, Teal Margaret, we're just going with Teal Rhodes. She came out and she, did the whole, so what do we want to talk about thing. She kind of, wink, wink to the crowd. And I think it's really cool that she's like the on-air, of course, for real, she is behind the scenes, running the show as well, but she's also become like the on-air authority figure too, which I like that. And the main event of the show, I love, love, love this. So the main event of the show, I'm just going to read off all the names here. We had Glacier, Luther Biggs, QT Marshall, Scotty Riggs, and the Yeti on the outside defeat Adam Priest, Duncan Mitchell, Owen Knight, and Sunny Days, along with Matt Griffin on the outside for them. All right. I'll just say, just to see Glacier alone, like, that's really cool. And I've talked about this before, I think, a little bit. Glacier, it's such a small world. Glacier was the lacrosse coach for my high school after he was Glacier on WCW. So, like, I knew him as Glacier in WCW as a kid, like, as a huge fan of his. And then he was just, like, the coach for lacrosse at my high school when I got there. And I was, like, totally mind blown. And he was a super nice guy, and I actually had him sign some stuff for me, like during the pandemic. I brought him an 8x10 and a mask, and he signed it all for free for me. And so just a super, super nice guy. I love Glacier. Shout out Ray Lloyd, Coach Lloyd. And another one that, really cool, the Yeti. I remember even better as Ron Reese from Raven's Flock. But of course the Yeti, everyone remembers that. Like, him being involved in this is cool. Adam Priest being on the other side, I think that Adam Priest, pound for pound, is one of the best, in-ring wrestlers in the entire world. Any style, y'all know I love me some Adam Priest. QT, obviously, QT is huge for the revival of this company. I got mad respect for QT Marshall, and it's interesting to see he's going to be heading back to WWE. Owen Knight, somebody who, just kind of under the radar, but he's been around for a while. Like, I know I see him in Atlanta often, like in the Atlanta scene. But the person, and Matt Griffin, shout out Matt Griffin, the mind behind Action Wrestling, somebody who I think we're gonna probably have in the spotlight really soon. To pull the curtain back a little bit, they've got the SCI Rumble coming up soon. The plan is to have Scott Hensley on the spotlight within the next couple weeks, and I'll probably have Matt on as well. I've talked to Matt before, but just not for that specific show. But I keep up with Matt. He's a great guy, and I definitely need to have him on for an interview soon with Jeremy. But that all said, this is the build up to the thing that I think is the coolest of all this, and that is Scotty Riggs returning to wrestling. He hadn't had a match in over 10 years. I think it was like closer to 15 years, probably. Scotty Riggs, back when I started doing wrestling podcasting, like, my journey with this goes back a long time in certain ways. Like, I was doing college radio talking about mixed martial arts. This was back in like 2006, and then like 10 years later, I finally started trying to do like wrestling podcasting completely on my own, with kind of the how podcasting became more accessible, and I just gave it a shot on my own to try to do pro wrestling podcasting. And the first pro wrestler that I interviewed, this was back in like 2017 or something, I reached out to Scotty Riggs because I think we just followed each other on Twitter, or maybe his DMs were open. I don't even remember. And I messaged him, and he was willing to do an interview over the phone. I didn't even know what to do, so I literally took an old iPhone that I had and just put it and used that. I took an old iPhone that I just had for no reason still, turned it on, hit the voice memo button, and then took my actual iPhone with this, like, that had service, called Riggs, put that phone on speakerphone, and just put the phones next to each other. So, like, one phone picked the audio up from the other phone, and then I used that audio to upload. Because I didn't have any other way of doing it. This is, like, way before I knew how to do anything through Skype. This is way before StreamYard and all that even existed or was even a thought. So, like, and not only did Riggs do an interview with me, we talked for, like, 3 hours. And we wound up staying in touch over the years. Still to this day, we'll hit each other up over UFC picks because he's a huge MMA fan. And he's a guy that, this is stuff he's put out there, so I'm okay saying it. He's a guy who's dealt with, like, serious depression for a very long time. And he's had these, like, massive, you know, well, he'll have these massive episodes of, like, gaining a ton of weight and stuff. And, like, just kind of, like, letting himself go is kind of what it looks like, right? And it's rough to see it happen. And he'll even acknowledge as it's happening. And in recent years, he totally turned it around. Like, the stuff that he's doing with DDP is absolutely incredible. And the shape that he's in, I saw pictures from this match, some videos from this match. And Riggs is in damn good shape. And he looks like he can go on another run. And, like, I am so proud of this dude. So he's a guy I will absolutely reach out to about you guys hearing from on the spotlight. There's a lot of people on this show that I'll line up for you guys and do the best that I can to get them on the spotlight for interviews. Because Scotty Riggs especially, his story needs to be heard, especially just what he's been doing the last couple years to turn this all around. I mean, just... I'm so pulling for that guy. So I love seeing Scotty Riggs back in there. Scotty Riggs, the American Males, one of my favorite tag teams ever when I was a kid. I loved Riggs as part of Raven's Flock. Like, seeing him and Reese back together out there, it's just so random. It's so cool. It hits me in my WCW kid feels, I'm telling you. So yeah, check out TCW. Support TCW. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on February 16th, and I watched it on Hulu, so that's where I recommend you check it out. Had two matches and an interview, including a big debut this week. So the opening match was that debut. We had Brooks Jensen defeating the debuting Javon Evans. Now, Evans used to be Jay Malachi on the indie scene, and I got to see him live a bunch in the Atlanta area. I've got to see him at Battle Slam. He did some stuff, I believe, for Action Wrestling, if I remember correctly. Became pretty big on the West Coast and West Coast Pro and that kind of stuff. I think he did some stuff for Deadlock, if I remember correctly. But Malachi, super innovative, super just, like, he's going to work in the WWE system because he's got size also, like, and he can really move. And he's, once again, just innovative is the word. Like, he thinks outside of the box and he executes, like, He's got a really bright future, in my opinion. And so does Brooks Jensen. Not just because he's, you know, stolen my last name, but I like what I'm seeing out of Jensen. He's a real throwback. So I've thoroughly enjoyed this match. I think this match, honestly, like, whether you watch NXT Level Up or not, you should go out of your way to check this match out. Like, this is worth watching. Whether you're, you know, a snobby wrestling fan who thinks that you're above NXT Level Up or you've never heard of either of these guys, I think this is worth checking out just to see a little bit of the future of the company here. Because I think both Jensen and Evans are going to be here for the long haul in this company. It's for years and years and years. Main roster success as well. The finish of this one was Evans going for a flying crossbody off the second rope. Jensen reverses it midair into a power slam and then goes to the top rope, hits his diving knee drop off the top for the 1-2-3. After that, we had a interview segment where Izzy Dame and Kiana James, they really honestly don't say much of substance here. They basically just say it doesn't matter who they fight or who Izzy's going to fight. The main event, the only other match is going to be Izzy Dame versus Gigi Dolan on the show. But they're just establishing basically James and Dame being bullies together pretty much, and that they don't really care who they have to go through. That leads into the main event of the show, which is Izzy Dame over Gigi Dolan. The finish here is after multiple attempts from James to, you know, get the assist to Dame. James eventually does distract Dolan, and basically she's on the ring apron. Dolan's on the ring apron. Or sorry, not Dame. James is on the ring apron. Dolan knocks James off of the ring apron, and when she turns around, Dame hits her with a running elbow to the face, and then hits her with Z-Quil, which is basically it's like a flapjack, like a fireman's carry into a flapjack for the 1-2-3. So, solid episode of Level Up. Two good matches with four really solid talents. But like that opener especially, I think that people need to check that out because it's a good way of showing, both of those guys. Brooks Jensen, you can see the star potential in him just with everything that he does. And Evans is like, you just know that the fans are going to be super behind him once like more people see him and they give him like any kind of push in character. So great stuff there. NXT Level Up. All right, moving on. We're going to do some quick NXT TV taping spoilers. This won't take long, but these were from the 13th and they'll happen on the 20th. So we're going to put a little bit of a disclaimer here. We're going to say at 46 minutes. If you want to skip ahead and remain spoiler-free from NXT spoilers, just look at the description underneath the audio you're listening to here on Fightful Select, and just skip ahead to the timestamps to remain spoiler-free. That said, these are the results for NXT, like the actual main NXT show. These were from February 13th, and they are going to air on February 20th. These are courtesy of PW Insider, so thank you to PW Insider for the spoilers. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Here we go. All right. We have the NXT North American Championship on the line. Oba Femi defends and retains over Alexis King. Oba Femi, by the way, a great example of like NXT Level Up really working. He didn't do a ton on Level Up, but like the glimpses we got of him on Level Up, you could just tell that like if he got an actual push, he had all the tools, like super charismatic, larger than life, looking dude, just he comes across like a star. He can move like a star. He's very athletic. It's been wild to see like how fast they pushed him to that spot that he's in, but it's really cool at the same time. Just another example of why I like NXT Level Up so much. We got to see Oba Femi on there quite a bit before he made that move, but it was a fast move for him. After that, we got Roxanne Perez over Rhen Sinclair. Josh Briggs over Brooks Jensen. The two of them, of course, were a tag team for quite a while, mainly on Level Up, but also did stuff on the regular show as well, or the main show as well, I should say, the main NXT show. But it says the two of them hug after the match, which I like to see. You don't necessarily need a turn always when it comes to this stuff. Maybe they will. Maybe it's just a kind of a red herring, and there will be a big blood feud between the two of them at some point. But it has been kind of cool to seeing Briggs and Fallon just kind of go their own way, Jensen go his way, We'll see. But I thought they were a decent tag team, though. Like, I didn't really have an issue with their tag team, but if they're going to push both these guys as singles guys, I'm interested to see where that goes. Let's see, what else did we have on this show? Just one other thing. We had oh no, sorry, not one other thing. It all more stuff just loaded underneath here. We have Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin. They come out to celebrate the NXT Tag Team Title victory, confronted by Chase Yu. That is, of course, Andre Chase and Duke Hudson, and then of course, and sorry, then also the tag team of Nathan Frazer and Axiom. So there's going to be a tag team match to determine the number one contenders. We had JC Jane over Ariana Grace. We have the tag team match they were just setting up. Andre Chase and Duke Hudson defeat Nathan Frazer and Axiom. They earn a title shot at the NXT Tag Team titles. The Good Brothers, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, attack both teams after the match. That's interesting. And honestly, probably the best place that the Good Brothers can be right now. They've, to my knowledge, they seem super, super, super out of the loop and out of the mix for anything important going on in WWE television. And it's pretty much felt like that the entire time they've been signed to this company, especially this since being re-signed, like the second, I guess technically the second time they've been re-signed. It's like they're not even there. So, this will be something for them, I guess. We have Lash Legend over Kalani Jordan. It says after the bout, Kiana James and Izzy Dame came out and attacked Jordan, but she escaped. And then we had the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Lia Valkyria defends and, well, I guess defends and retains over Shotzi. It says it was stopped early due to a knee injury suffered by Shotzi. And then it says the NXT GM Ava came out and said that since Ava can't compete, there's going to be an open challenge for the title, which is answered by Lash Legend. That leads to the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Lyra Valkyria defends and retains over Lash Legend. Moving on, got some results for Combat 1. This is Combat 1 WrestleRama Brodown. This is available on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK, FIGHTTALK, all is one word, no spaces. If you put code FIGHTTALK in the promo code spot, it lets IWTV know that I sent you over their way. Appreciate when you use that code. This show took place on February 8th, so about a week or so ago, but just able to watch the show on IWTV to give you the results here. Took place out of Brighton, Michigan from the Rollerama Trap Zone. Trap Zone? No, Rollerama Zap Zone. Traps. They're in there trapping at the roller rink. We have the Rollerama Zap Zone. Probably people playing a bunch of laser tag in that building. You'll love to see it. These are the results of the show. We have the Combat 1 Crash title on the line in the opening match. Alex Shelley defends and retains over Damian Finrear. The finish here was Alex Shelley ducking a title shot. Damian tries to use the title belt. Damian tries to use the title belt. Alex Shelley ducks it, hits a DDT right on top of the belt, locks in a figure four leg lock, and forces Damian to tap out. After that, we had Miley over Vanna Black. The finish here was a reversal of a basically Vanna was going for a fireman's carry, and then Miley reversed it into a sunset flip for the three count. Up next, we had Nate Bock over Mike Walker. The finish here was a fireman's carry into a flapjack for the 1-2-3. Basically hit the Z-Quil from Level Up that we were just talking about. After that, we had Jackson Stone over Bhupinder Gujjar. Stone gets the win after hitting the middle froggy, essentially a frog splash off the middle rope. Jackson, a pretty big dude, still a lot of impact there for the 1-2-3 over Gujjar. After that, we had the A-Team, the team of Kirk Hendrick and Lawrence Jeter, over Kyle Barrett and Roy Williams. The finish of this one was Roy Williams turning on Kyle Barrett during the match and hitting him with a chair. This opens it up for Jeter and Hendrick to hit. They basically hit a heart attack, heart foundation style, but they did it off the ropes for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had the Combat 1 world title on the line. Matt Riddle wins the title. Kruel was the champion coming in. We also had Tommy Vendetta in this one. So Riddle over Kruel and Tommy Vendetta. The finish here was Riddle hitting an RKO, followed up by, I think he used to call it the Bro Derek. It's like, or I don't know, it's like the tombstone that he does, where it's like with his arm through the middle of the legs, I don't know, he's been changing the names of his moves again since leaving WWE, but we'll just say the Gotch-style tombstone pile driver by Matt Riddle onto Tommy Vendetta for the 1-2-3. With this win, the Duke, Dante Allen, becomes the president of Combat 1 Wrestling, and after the match, former champion Kruel chokeslams Tommy Vendetta through a table. After all this happens, Austin Aries, who I didn't even recognize for a second, was on the Titantron, or whatever you want to call it, and he has like a video challenge to Matt Riddle, and it looks like it's going to be Austin Aries versus Matt Riddle soon for the Combat 1 world title. Once again, you can check that show out over on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK. All right, moving on. Got results for Glory Pro Ascend, episode 23. The show is available for free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. And it aired on February 11th. This would have been taped probably around the end of December, maybe end of December, beginning of January, and airing as a part of the Ascend series, once again, for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. These are the results. We had Lainey Luck over Dak Draper, Dan the Dad, and Cody Lane. The finish of this one was Lainey going for a slingshot from the ring apron to the inside it was like a slingshot code red attempt, and Dak Draper reverses it by basically doing like the Bret Hart British Bulldog SummerSlam finish with like the sit down and the stack pin for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Xavier Walker over Mike Outlaw. The finish of this one was Walker hitting the right hand of God with a chain wrapped around his fist onto Outlaw and also onto St. Goods, and then hitting a choke slam for the 1-2-3. In the main event of the show, we had the United Glory Tag Team titles on the line. We had Moses and Ethan Price defend and retain over PME, Philly Collins, and Marina Tenaglia. The finish of this one was a double pin with a small package. So it was a double pin where all the shoulders were on the mat at the same time. Because it was technically a tie, Moses and Ethan Price retained their championships. PME grabs the mics after the match and basically out of mutual respect, they call them out and say they want a 2 out of 3 falls match for the titles. PME wants that match, and Moses and Ethan Price accept that challenge. So we will be getting a 2 out of 3 falls match for the United Glory Tag Team titles in the very near future, with Moses and Ethan Price defending once again against PME. All right, moving on, got results for NWA Power. This show aired on February 13th, and you can watch the National Wrestling Alliance Power over on the CW app and website for free. These are the results. We had the Southern Six, the team of Kerry Morton and Alex Taylor, versus Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch. This match ends in a double DQ. Basically what winds up happening is the referee just can't control the action and everyone's fighting each other. And Ricky Morton essentially prevents Knox and Murdoch from getting the win. But, the referee just can't keep the action, contained. So it's a double disqualification. Everyone brawling. After that, we had a unification match where the NWA World TV title was unified. We had the women's title unified with the men's title. Max the Impaler defeats Mims to become the unified champion. Max, of course, non-binary. So this is pretty cool to see. There was really no need for both TV championships, especially if Max is going to fight both, male and female competitors. So it makes sense that Max would just have, either one or both of the titles and just fight everybody. So I'm down for that. Shout out to Max, who is now, technically the male and female champion, but non-binary themselves. So pretty interesting position to be in, being Max the Impaler. But once again, it totally makes sense. If Max is going to wrestle men and women, just have them be the champion of both. After that, we had the NWA United States Championship on the line. The Immortals, the team of Odinson and Kratos, defend and retain over the Slimeballs, the team of Sage Chance and Tommy Rant. The finish of this one was pretty badass. The way that it's hard to do it justice without seeing how the ring and the set was all kind of set up, but the Immortals hit their finisher, their double team move, Immortality, which is Kratos, lifting someone up and almost like a 3D type position, getting them up off the ground. And Odinson didn't go to the top rope. He went behind, there was the stage set up that he could jump off of that could still get him into the ring. So he hit this really sweet European uppercut to the back, as the double team move, hitting Immortality, but it was just that added kind of cherry on top of the way Odinson did it off the stage instead of off the ropes. It looked a lot cooler. So Immortals get the win in that one. And the main event of the show, we have the NWA National Heavyweight Championship on the line. Thrill Billy Silas Mason defends and retains over Paul Burchill. This was wild to see Paul Burchill back in there. He randomly returned to the National Wrestling Alliance and to pro wrestling in general in those the Who Wants to Be a Fabulous member audition things that they were doing a while back. I will say this, Burchill looks like he's still in great shape. He was out there bumping around great. And not to sound corny, he's still got it. I was actually impressed with what I saw out of Burchill for someone who I haven't seen really actively wrestle for so long and in even somewhat consistent basis. But he looked great. And I've been a Silas fan for a while. I was a fan of his before he even entered the NWA because he was wrestling in like the Southeast and wrestling in Alabama and stuff, and he rose those ranks like really quickly and just fits in like a glove for the NWA product in a positive way. He's a bright spot in the way that that he's been presented in the company, in my opinion, his position in the company. I think it works really well, especially for this national heavyweight championship. They got so many titles. The finish here was Burchill almost getting the win, hitting a running knee to the face of Mason, but Mason kicks out at two. Burchill runs at him again, but Mason catches him on in the thrill ride for the 1-2-3. His version of like the black hole slam, but he does a whole bunch of rotations before hitting that thing, and it looks pretty great. So once again, through Billy Silas Mason retains the National Heavyweight Championship in the main event. But shout out to Paul Burchill, who, in my opinion, looked pretty damn good out there. I think he could have somewhat of like a PCO style resurgence if he were to hit the indies, especially with the right companies and the right opponents. I think Burchill could still, he's still got some stuff to give, and it's kind of like the novelty and nostalgia, or whatever you want to call it, of like, because you haven't seen him in so long, but he's still out there looking pretty darn good. All right, we're going to wrap up today's show with spoilers for Ring of Honor. These are some quick Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers. These are courtesy of PW Insider, and they were taped on February 14th to air on upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor on Honor Club. I almost said Spoiler Club. ROH on Honor Club spoilers, that is. And if you don't want these spoilers, just turn the show off right now. I appreciate you listening. But if you want the spoilers, they're going to be starting in 3, 2, 1. We have the ROH Women's Championship Best of Three Falls Tables match. Athena defends and retains over Nyla Rose. We got Danhausen over Brandon Cutler. We've got Commander over Exodus Prime, AR Fox, and Matt Sydal. So those are three Ring of Honor matches that you'll be seeing on upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor Honor Club. I do not think they taped more Ring of Honor spoilers, I don't think, because there wasn't Collision last night at its normal date and time and everything. So these are the only spoilers that I came across, at least the point of me recording this. So that's all I've got for you today for the Ring of Honor spoilers. But once again, we had Athena over Nyla Rose in a best of three falls tables match, Danhausen over Brandon Cutler, and Commander over Exodus Prime, AR Fox, and Matt Sydal. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk underscore, FightTalk underscore. Use code FightTalk on independentwrestling.tv and watch the spotlight on Fightful every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of pro wrestling, and we also, we interview a lot of wrestlers, promoters, other fans, YouTubers, a whole bunch of stuff. Our most recent episode was with Patrick O'Malley, who's a independent wrestling referee. So please check that interview out if you haven't seen or heard it so far. And we got more interviews coming for y'all. We already got someone lined up for this upcoming week and the week after. And I'm already working on probably about the next month or so worth of guests that we've got coming up. And some of it's going to be timed out with, what's going on in the world of wrestling. There's some big events coming up. There's some returns. There's some big stuff. There's WrestleMania season. Who knows? Who knows who may or may not appear on the spotlight between now and WrestleMania, and even maybe a little after WrestleMania. This could be some interesting names and faces popping up. Maybe some returns, some people you've seen on the spotlight before. So, tune in. Appreciate y'all for supporting me here at Fightful, whether it's here on the Weekender and or over on the Spotlight. So that's going to do it for me. Once again, I'm Steven Jensen. Until next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.